This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Here we go. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, rasulullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, nasta'inuhu, nasta'khfiruhu. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook. Welcome to the this weekly series about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام entitled Walking with the Prophet. It is getting now, inshallah ta'ala, as I promised you from the beginning of this series, that towards the end, well, towards the middle, not the end, towards the middle, it will get more and more interesting. And we get into that part, inshallah ta'ala, you know, that part where Prophet Muhammad, you know, now is the prep for the hijrah. But before the hijrah, the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام, after exhausting all the efforts, right, going to Ta'if, trying with Quraysh, talking to people coming from, you know, coming for Hajj, you know, giving them da'wah. So he just needed to look for some towns, for some people who will give him the nusrah. This is why the Ansar, why called Ansar, Muhajirin and Ansar. The Ansar are those who gave nusrah to the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام. And nusrah, or as they say in Urdu, nusrat. They pronounce the T at the end, nusrat. But the Arabs, we don't pronounce the T at the end unless there's a word, you know, that follows it, and then it depends on what follows the nusrat. So if we finish it at the end, we say nusrah. They gave him nusrah, you know. So nusrat, it is a ta marbuta, but we don't pronounce it, you know, the Arab. But I know in Urdu you pronounce nusrat, you know. So the Ansar is derived from the word nusrah or nusrat, you know, giving assistance or giving, you know, hosting or giving, even comes from nasr, you know, nasr. Nasr means victory, right? So Prophet Muhammad was looking for somebody to give him nusrah. And he was talking to people now coming for Hajj. It's an opportunity now, opportunity people coming from different towns, you know, to perform Hajj. Yes, they do perform Hajj in Jahiliyyah. But brothers and sisters, remember, I may have told you this. How did they, you know, how did they use to perform Hajj in Jahiliyyah? How did they use to make tawaf around the Kaaba? Do you remember? Does anybody remember? Those of you on Facebook and Instagram? Does anybody remember how they used to perform Hajj, or how they used to, the Quraysh, you know, the time of Jahiliyyah, how they used to perform tawaf around the Kaaba? Does anybody remember? Light spread. Ah, yes, true. Subhanallah. Yeah, naked. They used to do that. And Prophet Muhammad, he never did, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they used to go around naked, and they used to go and clap. Yeah? And they used to say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, illa sharikan lak. You know, so their talbiyah is different than, of course, their talbiyah included the shirk. So they used to do talbiyah as well. Labbaik Allahum illa sharikan lak. And then we say labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik. And then for them they added illa sharikan lak. You know, something in that regard. So anyways, so they used to come for Hajj. So Prophet Muhammad, he took advantage of that, you know, opportunity, because, you know, you've got to be an opportunist, brothers and sisters. Look for an opportunity to do your job, to give da'wah, you know, to talk about what you want to talk. Look for the right, even for al-amr bin ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar. Let me give you this between bracket, right? Remember it really, really, really well, right? If you want to enjoin good and forbid evil, if you want to do, you know, like you see something wrong and you want to change it, you can't just go and change it right now and say, okay, this is wrong, and then start, you know, making a fuss and making a big, you know, mess and whatnot, because that's going to may retaliate against you. So you've got to find the best time, the best place, and the best words to be used for amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar, for enjoining good and forbidding evil. So Prophet Muhammad, you know, was always looking for an opportunity to do his job. Okay, here, they're not allowing me to give da'wah here. I'm going to try to look for something else. I'm flexible here. You know, they don't want me to speak here. I'm going to look for some other place so I can talk. And then he was to go around. So how many times, brothers and sisters, I said last, you know, yesterday, how many attempts did Prophet Muhammad, go through giving da'wah to tribes and people coming for Hajj? How many attempts? I mentioned that yesterday. And he never quit, remember? He was talking to people, tried to tell them about, you know, Islam, and a lot of tribes, you know, all the tribes, in fact, you know, rejected the offer of the Prophet Muhammad for the reason of another. Yes, Naz, mashallah, Naz Thabit, 26 attempts. 26 attempts, 26 qabilas, right? Until the very end, the end of in Mina. They used to go to Mina as well, right? So not the Hajj, just like our Hajj, but they have their own shirkiyat al-iyadu billah at the time. So they went to Mina, and he saw a couple kids, not kids, they were youngsters. The youngest was like 21 years old, As'ad ibn Zurara from Al-Khazraj, the qabilat of Al-Khazraj, because the people of Medina, and at the time Medina had another name. Medina used to be called Yathrib. But the Prophet Muhammad والسلام, when he entered Medina, he changed that name from Yathrib to Al-Madina. They call it Al-Madina or Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. And we'll talk about this, inshallah. We'll talk about the virtues of Medina. It will be a session just talking about the virtues of Medina. Right? So if somebody asks you what are the names of Medina, never say Yathrib. Yathrib is from Jahiliyyah. Yathrib is from Jahiliyyah. It had that name. It was gloomy. It was a town full of diseases. It was gray. It was not a very good town. But when Prophet Muhammad entered it, the city changed, the town changed. That's why they call it Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, from the nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So at any rate, Prophet Muhammad, you know, met two youngsters that came from Medina, from Qabilat Al-Khazraj. Because Medina, as I was saying, is split into three, you know, main categories. You have the tribe of Qabilat al-Aws, Qabilat Khazraj, and the Yahud. So there were three main, you know, aspects to it. You have Qabilat al-Aws wal-Khazraj. And these what would form the Sahaba. This one would form the Ansar at the end. You know, the Ansar will be formed from al-Aws and al-Khazraj. And then you have the Yahud. And within the Yahud, they have different qabails. We will talk about them. The qabilat Banu Qurayda, Khaybar, you know, Banu Qaynuqa'. So they had their own different, you know, tribes, al-Yahud. Right. So he met As'ad ibn Zurara and one more youngster, you know, while they were shaving their heads. And then he, you know, spoke to them about Islam, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they liked what they heard. But they said, we cannot make a decision. We have to go back and consult with our brothers from Al-Aws. Because they were from the Khazraj. So they said, we have to go back to Yathrib at the time to consult with our brothers from the Aws. And they gave, they promised that the following year, they would come back for Hajj with more people. So they came back the following year, eight people and four from the, eight from the Khazraj and four from the Aws. Eight people from Khazraj and four from Al-Aws. Altogether, you know, 12 people. They came back. This is called Al-Aqaba Al-Ula. Brothers and sisters, who's been to Hajj before? I want to ask you a question. Who's been to Hajj before? Has anyone been for Hajj before? Or Mecca before? Anyone? You, Sister Yasmin? Okay. All right. Sister Yasmin, but the light spread. You went for Hajj. Remember when, you know, you did the Jamarat? Why did you do the Jamarat? Those of you who went for Hajj. And then you do the throwing of the pebbles. The throwing of the pebbles. Where did you guys go for the throwing of the pebbles when you threw the stones? Where did you guys go to throw the stones? It's not in Mecca. Where was it? Where did you guys go to throw the stones? Where? You don't remember? Of course you do remember. Where? In Mina, exactly, in Mina. So in Mina, you have the what we call the Jamarat, right? So you have Al-Jamara Al-Ula, the small Jamara, the middle Jamara, and the big Jamara at the end, right? So they met the Prophet Muhammad. It was the Aqaba Al-Ula, the first Aqaba, where they met the Prophet and they gave him the Bay'ah. They gave him the oath of allegiance. I'm going to come back to this Aqaba, you know, and with regard to the Jamarat here. So they gave him the oath of allegiance. It's called Bay'atul Nisa. The first Bay'ah, the fourth, because there are two main Bay'ahs. There's the big Bay'ah, which will happen the following year when they will come back, 75 of them, to give the oath of allegiance that we will shall protect you with our blood, with our wealth, with everything. Right? But this was the only Al-Aqaba Al-Sughra, Al-Ula. It's called Bay'atul Nisa. The bay'ah of women. Why bay'ah of women? There's no qital in it. There's no fighting in it. It's called the lower, the small bay'ah. The bigger bay'ah includes the fighting. The bay'ah to Nisa, because Nisa, women also used to go and give the oath of allegiance to the Prophet when they become a Muslim, right? To become a Muslim, they would come and give the bay'ah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's called bay'ah to Nisa, the bay'ah of women. So the bay'ah of women, the only difference is, you know, don't associate anyone with the worship of Allah, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't kill your children, don't, you know, all these things, but there's no fighting in it. There is no fighting in it. This is why it's called Bay'atul Nisa, the Bay'ah of women. But then they will come back. So Prophet Muhammad sent with them these 12 people. Imagine, 12 people Prophet Muhammad will send with them Mus'ab, radiallahu anhu ardah, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, the very first ambassador of Islam. Mus'ab, he went with them to Medina, radiallahu anhu ardah. The following year, they came back 75 for Hajj. And amongst those 75, there were women as well. There were 75, you know, there were men and women. They came and then they met Prophet Muhammad by the end of the Jamara. You know, the Jamara al-Kubra, the big Jamara, where the big Jamara, the people who've been for Hajj, they know what I'm talking about. You know, the in Mina, there is this where people go for stoning, right? So they have the small, the middle, and the large. In the large, by the large, the Jamara, the last one, in that area, that's where they met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give him the oath of allegiance, to give him the bay'ah. And that bay'ah, al-Aqaba, this is the big bay'ah. The big bay'ah, the bay'ah of al-Aqaba, where they, that one included the, you know, to fight, you know, including everything. We will defend you, we'll support you with our wealth and health and everything and life. Radiallahu anhum Allah. So now Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam sent them back, and now they're gonna start getting ready for the hijrah. Yalla, whoever, you know, finds an opportunity to go for the hijrah, to migrate to Medina, because they came back and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are ready to host you now. Come, we're ready. People in Medina, they're waiting for you. Come, we're ready to host you. Remember what I said earlier, subhanAllah. People, Prophet Muhammad, he wanted Khaybar. He wanted At-Ta'if. When he went to At-Ta'if, and the people of Ta'if, they kicked him out. So now the people of Medina, they came back and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're ready to host you now. We need you now. Come. So Prophet Muhammad told the Sahaba, Ya Allah, start ready, getting ready for the Hijrah. Get going for the Hijrah. Migrate. And he was the last to migrate. He wanted all the Sahaba to leave. And of course, some Sahaba did not. They were not able, but later on they will go. But, you know, it went into, you know, different, not in one, you know, one fawj, like one shot. They didn't go together, like all the Sahaba together at one, you know, in one shot. But they went into different, you know, different like stages. Prophet Muhammad was the last to make hijrah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers and sisters, before I start talking about the hijrah, how are you doing? How are you doing? How's everyone doing? Those of you on Facebook and Instagram? Now it's going to get interesting. The preparation for the hijrah. and the lessons from the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Doing okay, alhamdulillah, Zoe and Yashmin, and those of you on Facebook as well. Jazakumullah khair. Great to see you. Great that you're back here. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. All right. MashaAllah. So here they are. Alhamdulillah. Here they are. You know, the Sahaba started migrating. Some could not migrate because their family, you know, sort of like, you know, held them. They didn't let them go. Some of them, even they were, you know, imprisoned just because, you know, their family heard that they wanted to migrate, and they imprisoned them. They put them in, you know, and in chains, not letting them go. And Prophet Muhammad was waiting. And Quraysh, they came to know, of course. They had their eyes, they had their spies around. They did not want the you know, the Sahaba to leave, you know, and form a country, or form, you know, another, you know, allegiance with some other, you know, town, and then come back and attack the, you know, Quraysh. So this is why they were scared. They did not want the, you know, the Muslims to leave. Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr kept coming to Rasulullah alayhi salam. Ya Rasulullah, you know, shall I leave? Prophet Muhammad kept telling Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, wait. La'allallahu yaj'alaka rafiqa. May Allah Azza wa Jal find you a companion in your trip. And Abu Bakr used to say, I was hoping that companion would be Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Bakr, he just went and prepared three, you know, like two camels. One camel, that's his camel, and another camel for the Prophet alayhi salam, filled with all the, you know, all the needs, you know, for the journey, the provisions for the journey. As I was saying, the Muslims, they did not go in one batch. They were going in separate, in different batches. The only person who went, subhanAllah, he wasn't scared, of course, and then he went and he challenged Quraysh, was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu wa'adda. Umar ibn Khattab, he went to the Kaaba, right? Performed tawaf. He performed tawaf, and then after performing tawaf, he told the people, Quraysh, if any of you wants, يعني, for his children to become orphans, or want for their wives to become widows, let them come and stop me. I am going, I'm migrating to Medina. I'm migrating. If anyone of you want their children to become orphans and their women to become widows, come and stop me. Umar ibn Khattab, Umar my man. Allahu Akbar. Umar, if anybody, look, it's like a challenge. You want your child to become orphan, yani, if you want to die, come and stop me. Who's the man? Who's the man? Who wants to stop me? You know, you want to die? If you want your children to become orphans and your wives to become widows, come and stop me. So he's the only one who did that. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. The others, they either migrated hiding, they migrated at night, they were scared because Quraysh did not let them. Then came Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Quraysh, they said, okay, we're gonna go and kill him. We have to go and kill Muhammad alayhi salam. So they were thinking, how can we, you know, get rid of him? Because if they were to kill him, Banu Hashim, the tribe of the Prophet, the qabila of the Prophet, yani the family of the Rasulullah alayhi salam, will retaliate, will ask for revenge. So Quraysh, they thought of a way to make it difficult for Banu Hashim to ask for the revenge or to avenge the Prophet alayhi salam. So Abu Jahl, he thought of an idea. And you know, brothers and sisters, who was with them there in this meeting? They were meeting in Dar al-Nadwa. They used to have this like the parliament, you know, the house of the parliament. You know, like in England, they have the house of the Lords. You know, in the US, and you know, they have the house of the Senate. In Canada, we have the parliament, right? So they had a parliament called Dar al-Nadwa. That Dar al-Nadwa still exists today in Mecca, by the way. Still, this place still exists, Dar al-Nadwa. But of course, it's not the Dar al-Nadwa anymore, made into, you know, different, you know, they made into buildings or whatnot, but that place still exists. So they met together, and Shaitan came in a form of a man, plotting how to kill the Prophet. So they were thinking, Shaitan came in the form of a man. This is why, subhanAllah, there are some human beings smarter than Shaitan. Yes, smarter than Shaitan. They were all thinking of, you know, ways, and then came Abu Jahl. He says, I found it. Here's how we're going to kill him. We're going to bring a young man from every qabila. From every qabila. They're going to come together. And they will go and attack Rasulullah while he's asleep, while Muhammad while he's asleep, and kill him all together, you know, with one shot. That way it will become difficult for Banu Hashim to seek revenge, because they can't seek revenge against all these qabails. If it's one qabila, but this is all the qabails, you know, how can they, you know, they can't do it. And then the shaitan says, yes, this is it, this is the idea, this is what we should do. Even shaitan did not think of it. Abu Jahl, Fir'aun al-Ummah. You know, there's this joke. It was some so-called Muslim leader talking to Shaitan and saying, Shaitan tell him, you know, so what are you doing to your people? Like, what do you do to, like, your you know, the way that you're abusing them, and the way they can't talk, and the way you're controlling them and your authorities, and, you know, what's your he says, you know, what's your secret? What do you do? And then that leader, that Arabi leader, he whispered something in the ear of the Shaitan, and Shaitan says, ittaqillah, ittaqillah. He says, fear Allah, man. Even Shaitan couldn't do it. Even Shaitan told him, ya akhi, fear Allah, taqillah, haram alayk. Haram alayk, man. You know, so this man, Abu Jahl, was smarter than Shaitan. Shaitan could not think of this idea, you know. And then they did, you know, they came back and they plotted, they came together. They went, and Rasulullah, of course, Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, Jibreel came and told him, Rasulullah, he's the Prophet of Allah. Jibreel came and, you know, and informed Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, he told Ali, ya Ali, listen, I'm leaving tonight. I am leaving tonight, so you go into sleep in, you know, on my bed tonight. You're gonna take my bed, and I have these things that belong to so and so. I have this belonging here. You know, this belongs to even Abu Jahl. He used to keep stuff with Prophet Muhammad. You know, because they used to trust him. Subhanallah. They want to kill him, but they used to trust him. This belongs to Abu Lahab, this belongs to Abu Jahl, this belongs to this, this belongs to that, this belongs. When they come back, give them their, you know, their amanat. And then he says, I shall meet you in Medina. Ali radiallahu anhu arda, he said, I had, because they asked him, you know that, ya Ali, they were coming to kill Rasulullah. Weren't you scared? He says, no, I had the most peaceful night ever. I had the most peaceful night ever. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad told me, I shall see you in Medina. For me, that was a guarantee that I'm going to live to see Prophet Muhammad in Medina. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You understand, brothers? Look at the love of Rasulullah. Not only that he slept, he wasn't scared that they're going to come and kill, because they knew Prophet Muhammad said they would come. They're plotting to come and kill, but you're going to be here. So, don't worry, tomorrow, you know, we'll meet you in Medina. He says, I had the most peaceful sleep ever. Rasulullah, and they came in, Quraysh, they came in, you know, at night. And then they, by the door of the house of Rasulullah, and they were just waiting for, you know, the night time to go in and attack and kill Rasulullah. But subhanAllah, they all went asleep. They all went asleep. Rasulullah, there's a narration that says that the Prophet Muhammad, when he was coming out, reciting, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. In Surah Yasin, we made, you know, like a seal between their eyes and between their backs. فأغشيناهم. They became blind. They couldn't see. They went to sleep. Prophet Muhammad took some bunch of like dust and put it in their heads, subhanAllah, when he opened the door. Before that, my brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad called Abu Bakr. And he says, Ya Abu Bakr, as-suhba, Abu Bakr, companionship. And then Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, as-suhba, companionship. Come, yani you co-in with me? The Prophet said, Yes, Ya Abu Bakr, as-suhba. Abu Bakr cried people cry because either they're afraid or they're scared or they're, you know, with pain, you know, the different types of weeping and crying. Abu Bakr cried off of joy when Prophet Muhammad told him, I shall accompany you, Ya Abu Bakr. And then they proceeded leaving to Medina. Brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad, you know, the route to Medina is very well known. You know, even in fact, the route that the Prophet Muhammad took, it is known today. People, they know, you know, the routes that the Prophet Muhammad took with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa ardah. Where did they go? In fact, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he hired a non-believer. He hired a non-believer. Look, all the precautions he took. I want you to really, really listen to me very carefully here, because there's some beautiful, beautiful, you know, information and lessons. Beautiful lessons. When Prophet Muhammad decided to, you know, migrate to Medina, he did few things. Precautions. Number one, he told Abu Bakr, I'm going with you. So Abu Bakr prepared, again, he prepared the camels and the provisions, you know, whatever they need in the provisions. We said yesterday, why not the Buraq? Why the Buraq? You know, that animal that took the Prophet into the heavens. Why that Buraq did not come to take Prophet Muhammad to Medina? La, you go, Ya Rasulullah. You're going to take some hardship here. You're going to go to some hardship. So you take the means, use the means, and put your trust in the Lord of the means. So Prophet Muhammad is using the means. Mean number two, he hired a non-believer who knew the ins and outs of Mecca. And they took a detour. They did not go through the right, you know, the regular means, you know, the regular route. No, they took a detour, you know, instead of going south, they went up north. And then they went U-turn and they came back south. Oh, Medina is north and Mecca is south. So they went kind of like, they went south and they went back north. This is what happened. Yeah, they went south and went back north because Medina is north and Mecca is south. And how old was he, by the way, Prophet Muhammad, when he migrated to Medina? Does anybody know how old he was? Does anybody know? Does anybody know? How old was the Prophet Muhammad when he migrated to Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam? Almost, Yasmin. No, but almost. Almost. Zawishti said 53, and Yasmin said 54. Light spreads at 45. Wow, that is very young, man. Very young. How old was he again? Anybody else? Anybody else? Sister Fatima, mashallah, is really old. You know, you got him too old. Yeah. He was 53. He was 53, alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, Prophet Muhammad spent 13 years, you know, for the da'wah, the after the prophecy, the whole prophecy, 13 years in Mecca, 10 years in Medina. So 53 years old he was. 53 years old, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he migrated. He hired a non-believer by the name of Abdullah ibn Fuhayra. Abdullah ibn Fuhayra, you know, he's also Ra'i al-Ghanam. He's Ra'i al-Ghanam. He's also a shepherd. Why a shepherd? Look, listen to this. This is all from the precautions. A shepherd, because they were, you know, Abu Bakr and Umar and the Prophet Muhammad, they were traveling, right? And then there's this shepherd with all the cattle, you know, because when the cattle is behind, yani the you have a big cattle, you know, behind the camels of the Prophet Muhammad and the camel of Abu Bakr, it will what? To try to, subhanAllah, cause some diversion, to cause some, you know, confusion when people, if they were to come and look for Prophet Muhammad, they would not see the footsteps of the camels. So this is to kind of like hide the footsteps of the camels by the, you know, yeah, to cover up the tracks of the camels by the footsteps or the tracks of these, you know, the cattle. So the Prophet Muhammad took all type of precautions. You may say, he's a prophet. Yes, he's a prophet. Allah will protect him. Yes, Allah will protect him. But the lesson here is for you and I. The lesson here is for you and I. When he left, he looked back at Mecca and he says, by Allah, you are the most beloved place in my heart. You are the most beloved place in my heart, and if your people has not kicked me out from you, I wouldn't have left. Prophet Muhammad is addressing Mecca, telling Mecca, you are the most beloved place in my heart. But we will talk about Medina when he goes to Medina. He has not been to Medina yet. But he's saying, أحب البقاع إلى الله أحب إلي أحب الأرض إلى قلبي ولولا أن قومك أخرجوني منك ما خرجت. If it was not for your people to kick me out, I wouldn't have come out. And then they went south. Prophet Muhammad did not know what it's in, you know, this, there's people, you know, maybe those who've been to Mecca, they went and they visited this cave Ghar Tor, you know, in this mountain called, you know, where Ghar Tor is. Prophet Muhammad, he did not know there was a cave in this mountain. He was just looking for a place to hide. And Abu Bakr was going with Prophet Muhammad, and Abu Bakr, and Prophet Muhammad is in his remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Remembrance of Allah. Abu Bakr is scared. Scared of what? He does not want, you know, Quraysh to harm Prophet Muhammad. So sometimes he would go in his right, sometimes he would go on his left, sometimes from behind, sometimes from the front, and Prophet Muhammad is just walking with his, you know, making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ya Abu Bakr, why? Ya Rasulullah, I think I'm worried about you. I don't want them to. I just think if something was to come from your right, they would throw something at you. I will get. You know, I'll die before you. If something was to come from your left, I'm there. I'll die before you. Maybe from your right. Maybe from the back. From you. From your front. He keeps going around. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And Prophet Muhammad is gone. They reach this mount. Jabal al-Nur, and there is this cave called Cave of Thor, Ghar Thor. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam enters the cave. But before he entered the cave, Abu Bakr went in. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went in to try to clean it up, making sure that there's no, you know, anything that would harm Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He went in. He covered all the holes. There was only one hole that he couldn't cover. So he put his hand, you know, or he put his foot into it. And then he called the Prophet Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, you can come. It's all safe. Prophet Muhammad came in. And who took the camels? Abdullah ibn Fuhayra. Abdullah ibn Fuhayra, he took the camels. And he went in. And then Prophet Muhammad stayed in the cave. With whom? With Abu Bakr. Prophet Muhammad was tired, so he went and he slept. And he was reclining on Abu Bakr, putting his head on the lap of Abu Bakr. Allahu Akbar. What a great sahbah. What a great companionship. You know, brothers and sisters, when you have a friend, Allah, when you have a very close friend who would really love you for you, who you are, a great friend. Prophet Muhammad had that friend. Many friends, but that particular friend. So he slept. Came some snake or something that bit Abu Bakr on his feet, on his foot. Abu Bakr, because again, there were so many holes, he was, you know, blocking them, or he was, you know, putting his hand here and there. And then, you know, he got hit. He got bit by a snake. And he started, you know, he could, at some point, he could not bear the, you know, the pain of that poison. And he cried. He did not want to wake the Prophet Muhammad up. He didn't want to wake him up. And the tear fell off from his, you know, from his, of course, when he cried, the tear fell on the cheek of the Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad woke up and he saw him crying. "Why are you crying, Ya Abu Bakr?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, I got beaten by a snake." Prophet Muhammad, you know, spit on the foot of Abu Bakr, healed him with the permission of Allah, of course. And then, Quraysh, did they manage to find the place? Yes, they managed. How did they know? Allahu A'lam, how? But they came. And Abu Bakr, they came so close to the cave. Abu Bakr said, "Ya Rasulullah, if only they were to just look down, they would see us. They would see us, Ya Rasulullah." He was so scared. The Prophet Muhammad told him, "Ya Abu Bakr, ma baluka bithnain, Allahu thalithuhuma. What do you think of two? Allah is the third. Don't worry, Abu Bakr. La tahzan, inna Allaha ma'ana. Don't be sad. Allah is with us." And I'm telling I'm having goosebumps now, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you this. Anybody who's going through difficulties or hardship, anybody who's going through a deceit, who've been deceived by a loved one or whatnot, some people who may feel like they're alone despite what they have sacrificed, despite what they have done, and then they feel like they've been left out like nothing, right? They've been left out like nothing. You know, you feel like, you know, I'm alone, you're alone, despite the fact that, you know, you live with your family sometimes and you're it's a full house. It's a full house, yet you feel alone, you feel lonely. You feel lonely. I tell you what Prophet Muhammad told Abu Bakr, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." Don't be sad, Allah is with us. Don't be sad. If Allah is with you, you've got everything. If Allah is on your side, you have everything. Abu Bakr was telling Prophet Muhammad, if they were to come down, they would look at us, they would see, he was able to see their feet. The only thing, they just come down and then they would look at Prophet Muhammad. "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." When Prophet Muhammad was going through, you know, with Abu Bakr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some verses from Surah Al-Qasas. Surah Al-Qasas about Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, when also he was kicked out. While he was kicked out, he ran out. Subhanallah, look at the ayat, the chapters, the verses, they are being revealed, you know, to coincide with something that happened at the time of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, some incident that happened, there's an ayah that comes as if it's giving a message to Rasulullah. So right there, Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals some ayat from Surah Al-Qasas about Musa leaving Mecca, leaving Egypt and going to Jordan, you know, running away from Fir'aun. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, "إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ." إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ, yes, your heart is broken because you left Mecca. لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. We shall bring you back. As if Allah is comforting, you know, and soothing Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers and sisters, not only that, not only this, this is amazing. This is, you know, Prophet Muhammad, I'm telling you here, look what a beautiful way to comfort someone. Abu Bakr is scared, terrified, so if they were to come down, they will see us. And Prophet Muhammad is trying to comfort him, to tell him, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, ma baluka bithnain, Allahu thalithuhuma. What do you think of two? Allah is the third. Don't be scared, don't be afraid. Allah is with us." So brothers and sisters, here's my message maybe to you tonight. If you feel like sometimes you're alone, you're lonely, people have deserted you, they've left you, and you feel like, you know, despite all that you've given, despite all the effort, despite all the sacrifices which you have made, listen, Allah is with you. And if Allah is with you, you have everything. Nobody can harm you and nobody can terrorize you if Allah is with you. But if Allah is not with you, you may have all the wealth of this universe. You may have all not only the wealth and the protection from whoever, soldiers, armies protecting you. But if Allah is not with you, you've got nobody. You've got no help. You've got no support. But you may be alone. You may feel lonely. But just to know that Allah is with you, you've got everything. You have everything. Because you have the ma'iyatullah, we call it in Arabic. Ma'iyatullah. Huh? Ma'iyah. You know what that ma'iyah? That guardianship. That guardianship of Allah. Allah will guard you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put here your trust. Put it in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykhuna, are you there? Shaykh. Allah. Brothers and sisters, you know something? Sisters, are you there? I want to tell you something amazing that happened about Asma. How long did they remain in the cave? They remained for 3 days. They stayed there for 3 days in the cave. So in 3 days, they needed to eat. They needed to eat. So you know who used to bring them food? Who used to bring them food was Asma. Asma who? Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. Really? Yes. But what is the story of Asma? What is the story of Asma? That nitaqin. Why Asma was given that nickname, that nitaqin? Something that people don't know. It's about, you know, the cave from Mecca, where Mecca is, to where the cave is, that Mount of Nur is about 4 miles or 6 miles, and about 10 kilometers, taqriban. Maybe, you know, about 10, you know, 7-10 kilometers or so between where Mecca is and where the cave is, where the mount is. So for 3 days, Asma used to bring them food. Why Asma? And what was so special about Asma? I bet you a lot of sisters and brothers do not know. They do not know. Asma, there was something special about her. There was something special about her. What? Yes. She used to bring them food. But how? How? Did she ride? No, she wasn't riding. She was walking. On top of that, she was going through something very difficult that women go through. That women go through. And she used to bring them food for 3 days. On top of the, again, this is all the tawakkul that the Prophet Muhammad, you know, is teaching us right here. Yes, use the means, but put your trust in the Lord of the means. I'm using the means. I need to eat food. So he spoke to Asma. I told Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr talked to Asma. Asma to bring them the food. And, you know, and how did Asma, by the way, know the place of hiding of Rasulullah? Have you ever thought about this? How did Asma knew about the hiding, the place of hiding of the Prophet Muhammad, to bring them food? Nobody knew. What was so special about Asma? And what would the Prophet do? And how long would it take him from Mecca all the way to Medina? How long would it take him? You know, walking. Is it walking? Are they going to walk? Because they could not take their camels all the way up, because this cave, you know, it's like about, you know, it's like, you know, about 700 meters or more up, you know, in, you know, it's a big mountain, right? So, and the cave is like towards the middle of the mountain. So who brought them the camels again? Because when they went back to Medina, they had camels. So where did they get the camels from? How long? Where would they go? In the meantime, what's the Sahaba doing in Medina? What are they doing? What's happening? Insha'Allah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll be talking about, you know, the trip to Medina. This is a trip that, you know, of a lifetime. This is the what would change history. You know, this is what, it will change history. It will change the years, the date. The date will change. That hijrah, it is the year change. Na'am, we're no longer saying 2000, you know, like we're today 2021, 2020, 2000. No. In the Muslims, the Muslim will have our own calendar. Our own calendar will be initiated on the day of the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why I said the history will change. Our calendar will evolve right there and then from the first day when Prophet Muhammad will migrate from Mecca to Medina. When exactly is that? Do you know the date? I will give you the date tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. The exact date when Prophet Muhammad migrated and day. Not only the date, like the day as well. I will give you the date as well on when he traveled, alayhi salatu wasalam, to Medina. What will happen? Abu Bakr, the Sahaba, what would they be doing? You know, we'll talk about Medina. We'll talk about the virtues of Medina, why it is called Medina. We will go about the names of Medina. We'll talk about the Masjid al-Nabawi. We will talk about the houses of the Prophet Muhammad. We will talk about, inshallah ta'ala, يعني, Quba, you know, where the Prophet will pause, you know, for some time before going to Medina. There's so many things, inshallah ta'ala. And then and there, we will, inshallah, start talking about, you know, spending time with Prophet Muhammad, spending time with him in his home, spending time with him, you know, seeing how he prays, seeing how he fasts, seeing what he does at home, what does he do inside. You know, I always wondered, Prophet Muhammad, when he goes back home, you know, with his wife, what does he do, you know? So, inshallah ta'ala, it will be more interesting, I promise you. I promise you, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters, for joining. I shall see you tomorrow, same time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 10:30 p.m. UK Time. 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. UK Time. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you for joining. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you, Zoe, for joining. Thank you, Yasmin. Thank you, Baizul Aziz. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Nawal, for coming, mashallah, for all the way from Belgium. Thank you, Yasmin, Nawal, and who else? Thank you all. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Mu'nisa, for joining. Yeah, it's been a long time. Jazakum Allah khair. And those of you on Facebook as well, barakallahu feekum. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. And don't forget, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum, sister.